Hey folks, a couple of things before we get started. One, Misdirected Mark Productions has been rebranded as the Polygamerist Podcast Network. That's right, we have rebranded. We don't really feel like we need to have a flagship show anymore, so now we're all just putting ourselves under the Polygamerist Podcast Network. Welcome to the show, Gameros. Second, after Prospocalypse Now is done, Misdirected Mark Plays is going on hiatus for a while. I have a few ideas for other shows in the fire, and we are planning on having a second season of Misdirected Mark Play sometime next year. So there'll be a short break, delay in episodes, and then I will be back with something. I have a few ideas, like I said. I won't put those out there, though, until they are up and running. With that, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to MM Plays, our podcast where we design, play, and discuss a game and campaign. Along the way, we will alternate episodes between actual play adventures and the analysis and discussion of games and design theories that relate to the campaign we're playing. For this campaign, we'll be using the mechanics of Cortex Prime, designed by Cam Banks. We randomly selected a theme and ended up with swashbuckling high school urban fantasy. So, join MM Plays as we explore and enjoy a new campaign.
I'm Chris Nizak, and I'll be playing Silas Flamesworth, son of the Flamesworth family with a frozen and fiery intertwined soul.
I'm Old Man Logan. I'm playing Henrik Gunny Gunderson, son of the enigmatic Winter Wind and rookie elemental mage.
My name is Jerry, and I'm playing Santiago Zircon. He is the rebellious and reluctant scion of a powerful magic family.
I'm Phil Vecchione, and I will be your GM.
Welcome back for the next installment. Our safety tools are back on the table, our X card. And our script change cards, pause, rewind, and fast forward. So those are there, available for you. We have one trait out on the table, hanging out in front of Gunny. Easy money is easy. Still a D8.
We're down to one trait on the table?
Yeah,
all right.
Last session was a lot of talky, not as much rolling. So haven't had a lot of traits hit the table right now. But it's a nice, clean table for tonight. Okay. So let's pick up where we left off, which was after school. You're in the Grove, and the rest of the Junior Guardians are going to set off. Actually, people are going to go home, but their goal after school tomorrow is to start the search for Jesse and Gabby. That leaves the three of you plus Mesame and Bo.
So you guys want to go talk someplace private?
Sure.
Really? Really private?
You're talking about Dream Space, right?
Dream Space.
You okay with that, Bo?
Yeah, I just never invited so many people to my Dream Space before.
You okay with that, Mesame?
I don't know. I lived in a crystal for 6 months. I'm pretty sure just hanging out with people's nice on this plane of existence or any other.
I look down at my chest. I'm like, am I a crystal too?
You had to come visit. I mean, I was... Let's not get into the details of it.
When you invite people in, Bo, do you... like learn anything from them?
No, I'm not going to read your mind. That's not how it works. I could read your dreams if I was to go into your dream, but you're just going to come into mine.
When Bo is running things, it's a safe space.
Okay.
We can either do it here in the Grove or we could go to somebody's place, but we're going to need to lay down and stuff.
We can go to my house, use my ritual room if you want, and just throw some pillows on the ground.
You have a ritual room?
Yeah, why?
Okay, now we have to go there.
Yeah.
You are going to be... You know what? I'm not going to say another word.
Wow, Flamesworth and all. Wow, a ritual room.
T's got one.
Mine's just kind of set up in the basement. We also use it as a rec room and stuff.
Yeah. It's like when it's not the ritual room, there's like one of those carpets with like the town, you know, where like the kids play cars on it and stuff. Like,
yep.
T has a ritual space.
Let's be clear. The Flamesworth ritual space is a pretty posh.
Dude, I live in like a $1 million house.
Exactly.
Like
it's, yeah.
Yeah. I don't mean to be like
that. It's like a $2 million house now with inflation.
Yeah. For Buffalo, too, which is like an $8 million house in other parts of the country.
I don't mean to be like that. Silas is just sometimes like,
No, it's good. I mean, Silas just says things like that.
He grew up in that space.
Yeah.
He's oblivious most of the time to the fact that he's stupid wealthy.
That's why I just gave Gunny a computer and a phone at one point in time. This is like, well, that's like my allowance for like the month. Like, whatever.
I guarantee you that the Zircon ritual space has like a Bills banner on the wall too.
Sure, of course.
You know, and like a light up
beer sign.
Like a light up saber, it's beer sign. Yeah.
Budweiser.
There's like a bat sign.
Things I didn't know about T's dad and mom.
Yeah, I mean he's a whiz in the kitchen, but he's like Bob when it comes to watching hockey. Yes.
I just feel like T's mom's like a closet Bills fan that's like yelling at the TV.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, I guarantee you that.
Yeah. You should see her jump through a table.
I mean, it's not that big a deal. She's made us partially stone, so it's whatever.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, to the Flameworths.
Yeah.
To the Flameworths.
This is my ritual room.
Yeah, Bo's like, holy shit. This is nicer than my whole house.
There you go. T, you can save that picture for later.
All right.
I had our maid bring down a bunch of pillows and blankets. I helped.
Yeah. Maid.
What did you say?
I said maid.
Yeah.
What? Nothing. I look around at everyone like, what?
We're rich.
These
He's
pillows,
Flamesworth rich, okay?
These pillows look comfy. All right, let's do this thing.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like Mesame's like, I don't know, see what the big deal is, because her house is probably
I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Mesame's like, there's a lot of red in this house. Like,
yeah, I'd prefer to spruce it up with some blue myself, too.
Well, I guess I'm rubbing off on you. All right, everybody. Bo stands up and moves to the center of the room, like takes her pillow and fluffs it and then puts it down on the floor. Mm-hmm. Everybody grab a pillow, get comfy, and I will lead us into the ritual. Grab a seat, lay down, close your eyes.
T can sleep anywhere, so he just tosses the pillow down and flump on the floor.
She like lowers the lights.
I'm already tired.
All right. There's going to be a little bit of disorientation, but... I'll just I'll pick something familiar so it's not too weird for you guys. Everybody closes your eyes, and there's like a moment where a bit of magic washes over you, and you are standing in the grove. It is just the grove. It's the grove up in the air in like a pink sky. The grove itself is there and all the trees, but in between the trees, there's just like endless sky. There's none of the familiar landmarks that you would see from the school. Welcome to my dream space. If you need anything, let me know. If you want to leave, she waves her hand and a portal appears. Like, there's a portal for anyone who needs to leave, get disoriented, or anything comes up. We're free to talk. Nobody can hear anything. In the real world, we're all just laying on the floor sleeping right now. So, how do we do this?
What's our plan?
We go to Niagara Falls. Yep. We use the axe. We cast a ritual to locate Gunny's dad, Jurgen, and then we follow it and hopefully scout out the area if there's any cultists, and then make a plan after that. We need information. We got to go scout first.
Yep.
Can't just go in there, you know, magic blazing. We're just kids.
Okay.
Solid plan. I like it.
How do we want to do this? Do we want to go together as a group to scout? Do we want to scout in teams?
Mesame asks, why are we going to Niagara Falls?
That is because both times that the angel Kazafel was sent to me, he was summoned for the task while he was in the vicinity of Niagara Falls. So we think that's kind of where my dad has been laying low, working, doing whatever he was doing.
Potentially captured.
Yeah, we think we think he might be captured. Otherwise, he would have been more contact with your dad.
And... who's this angel? Like a family friend? A contact?
I have no idea.
It's Kazafel. He showed up to help get you loose or put you back together. Yes, both.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how Gunny really knows him, but Gunny knows him.
I know him because he brought me the axe, and then he brought me a message from my dad.
And then he hit on his mom.
And we're not going to talk about that.
It was pretty funny.
And
they're angels.
And we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, I know, right?
They hit on anything.
That's true.
So needless to say, we feel like Niagara Falls is a good place to actually perform the ritual because we think it'll be closer.
Hey, wait a minute. Did he not hit on you too?
Technically, he probably did hit on me. We're not talking about Kazafel. We're talking about finding my dad.
He's kind of pretty. I mean, I'm not interested, but you know, I could see it.
Is he angel pretty?
Yeah, he's like angel pretty.
He's the only angel I've ever seen, and he's a good looking guy.
Angel.
Angel. He's a good-looking being.
But this Kazafel doesn't know where your dad is.
That is correct.
He just got whammied to bring him the axe and then to bring him a message. Then Kazafel gave him like a feather that he could use to like summon him. It was cool.
Yeah, he said if I needed some help.
That's why he showed up to help when we were rescuing you.
Oh, so you used the feather already.
Yep.
Yeah.
He did try to kill me once.
Yeah. Well, that was because everybody went hot when he showed up.
Well, he went hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't give him an opportunity to actually say why he was there. And
in fact, if T wasn't there, I probably would have got cut in half.
I don't think he would have.
It was teamwork.
That's the plan. Why?
No, I'm just curious. Like, I didn't understand the purpose of the angel.
He's a messenger.
And stupid powerful.
And unwilling, so we try not to abuse that. But he keeps getting involved with Gunny's family.
We don't really have any way to call him anymore. I mean, we could call him, I suppose.
But... I mean, I could probably just call him, and I bet you I would get a hold of him.
We might even run into him.
We might.
Yeah. Because he
that
kept...
seems to be his stomping grounds.
Yeah, he's in Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
So, you know what? That's a good point, that he might be a good resource if things go bad in Niagara Falls.
Any questions?
Where should we go?
We should go to Niagara Falls.
Yes, but where in Niagara Falls?
We can go to the old stone chimney. That's one of the places that he was at, right?
And I think the other time was the observation tower.
Correct.
Yeah. So we'll probably go to those two places and then use the ritual from there, if one doesn't work.
The observation tower is kind of public.
Yeah, it is.
So maybe use that as the backup.
Sure. So let's go to the old stone chimney building first.
So the old stone chimney located in the city of Niagara Falls is a masonry chimney built as part of a two-story barracks on the French side of Fort Little Niagara.
And I believe that is downriver from the falls itself.
Yeah, it is.
Post-gorge.
We'll go there first.
Sounds good.
Whose car are we taking?
Not mine.
Mine's small. Don't you have like a SUV or something?
No, I have, but I have a two in the front, three in the back car. So
okay,
as long as you're all friendly, we'll all fit.
Old Stone Chimney is right off the Niagara Scenic Parkway. You go right along the river, and it's just off the parkway.
Okay.
Do we need to do anything else? Was that our whole plan?
Yeah, pretty much
for now.
Okay.
We need more information before we can do anything else.
I also just wanted to introduce everybody to Dream Space, that if we have to talk again in private, it's not going
to... No, it's okay. I was totally happy to host everybody in Dream Space.
I remember you telling me. I think that now that they know what it's like, it'll be easier next time.
Yeah, we can go anywhere.
Can we scout out the old stone chimney in here?
I've never been there.
Oh, well, okay.
I mean, unless somebody was asleep there right now, but...
Plus, it would just be like a dream memory, right?
I say we can go anywhere, you know, like I can just, you know, think of things. Oh. It's not clairvoyance, it's dreams.
Yeah, you were almost going to be like... the most useful person ever, instead of just, like, supremely useful.
Oh, trust me. The Veil, I've gotten my offers from the Veil.
Oh, we had these conversations.
Veil intelligence already.
And we don't need you, like, cracking nightmares on people. I don't really want to see that.
No, strolling dreams. You guys pile into a couple cars. Mesame's still not driving, obviously, because it's just been a day, but she's not driving, otherwise she would have a car as well.
We're both sitting in the back.
Okay.
Probably with Gunny.
Bo's really tiny. She's probably in the back.
Why would she be in the back of your car? That doesn't make any sense. I actually say that. It's in the front.
Okay.
We can be cozy. It's fine.
Yeah.
He doesn't smell or anything.
I haven't had human contact in forever.
Well, I'll sit in the middle.
Sure. Yeah. Take all the human contact to yourself.
You can sit in the middle.
Never mind. You sit in the middle.
It's wherever you want to sit.
You're being weird.
You're being weird.
You're being weird.
You're both being weird. How about that?
I will pull this car over and turn around.
I can feel you being weird, and you can feel me being weird. I don't know which one of us is being weird now. Damn it.
Well, one of us has some feelings about him.
I just reach over and hold Bo's hand this entire time as I listen to this whole conversation while I'm driving.
We had a really rough month there. We were like, had to pretend to be at each other's throat constantly.
I'm fine.
I slip my arm around his shoulder. Like, we need some bonding time. That's all.
Yeah.
All right.
She puts her head down on your shoulder.
Aw, isn't this nice?
Bo's like, she's so much fun in person. I don't remember her this much fun before, and then like kind of ducks her head down.
She could just feel us both glaring at her.
She's small enough. She just basically disappears behind the seat.
Hey, Mesame, did you see that Bo just faded into a dream?
I did not. I'm right here, just being embarrassed. You guys reach the old stone chimney.
You know what? I'm just going to loop around to the other side, and we'll just pull into one of the two parking lots right there. We'll park. There's plenty of trees we can go into and watch it from a distance if we need to, so we're not all gathered around it.
Well, we don't need to watch it. We need to ritual up here somewhere.
Yeah, we do.
Guys, pull over, hop out. You're all standing there. It's not too warm out. You're right up against the river, so it's even a little bit cooler, but it's not terrible. The day is getting long. Like, we're into, you know, by the time you guys have had your, like, after-school activity, you've gone back to Silas's house, you did, you know, that and drove out here. We're like into, like, well into dinner time at this point.
That's good. There'll be fewer people here.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this.
I'm going to use the shroud to cast an illusion, strengthened by the shroud, to make it look like we're just sitting having a picnic.
Okay.
Little ritual magic.
Why don't we do that as a trait? Because there is going to be a role when you do this ritual to not be conspicuous. So this would be a perfect asset to go ahead and create.
I will do it at D10.
All right. I'm going to grab two D10s And then after we make this roll, I will explain to you some mechanics around this ritual, and then we'll get into it.
So I'm going to use Geek, because I'm using my intelligence to put this ritual together. I'm going to use a veil, because, you know, I'm trying to hide us from being noticed. I'm going to ask Mesame to help me for the relationship die.
Sure.
And then I'm going to use Son of a Flameworth. And of course, you rolled a 17.
I really did.
Oh, fuck, I can't even beat it. I rolled two ones, and I got a 16.
Oh, I'm definitely buying your ones. I'm going to disrupt the shroud here.
Oops. There's a ripple.
Right. Whatever.
Disrupt the shroud, D8. Your illusion goes off, but it goes off badly. It dissipates almost immediately, and it's leaving this kind of lingering after effect of mana just kind of swirling around the area.
Oops. Well, that sucked.
Yeah.
Mesame, like, pats you on the shoulders. He's like, it happens to a lot of mages.
1 in 5.
Look, I've only been doing this for 6 months. I mean, I know all the theory, but I don't have a lot of practical experience aside from fighting dark wizards, apparently.
I appreciate the fact that you tried it. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think it was a good idea.
How close do we have to be to a stone chimney to cast this ritual?
I mean, we'll just do it right here. I mean, you're close enough.
Well, the reason I'm saying is there's a whole copse of trees right there, and there's some...
Are you spending a plot point to make that an asset on the table?
No, I'm looking at the map on my...
You have to spend a plot point to make an asset on the table for us to be able to use it in a die roll.
Correct.
Otherwise, it doesn't matter.
Correct. You can just simply say that you're going to the Grove of Trees.
But it doesn't do anything for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how the mechanics of the game work.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
I'll spend the plot point. We'll make the Grove of Trees there.
It'll only work for this roll.
Yeah.
Okay. Grove of Trees, D6.
And it only works if you roll.
Which I can do.
Which won't be for the ritual. That Grove of Trees will be to, like, kind of help conceal the ritual, which that can be done a couple different ways.
For those who don't remember how the game works, the only other way that we can make things in the environment actually matter is if Phil puts them down as an asset on the table with a die tied to them, or we spend a plot point to make them actually relevant. One plot point to make them relevant for a scene and a role for that particular person. Two, to make it usable by everybody, or to make it sticky for a long period of time.
Right.
Yep. GM to players, let me tell you a little bit about this ritual. The difficulty of this ritual is a D10. This ritual also has scale.
Ooh.
You suck. And this ritual, I'm not going to name it, but this ritual also has a distinction.
So he's rolling 3d10. He's rolling 4d10 and he gets to keep 3, by the way.
And it does have scale because, and we should go through this because we haven't done scale in a little while. It has scale because it was cast not by...
by somebody
teenagers.
With scale.
Yeah.
And for those who don't remember, scale is you get to add another die to the total. So instead of roll and keep 2, it's roll and keep 3.
Now, that all said... let me tell you the other part of it. Because you are in one of the two places where Kazafel was summoned, that difficulty goes from a D10 to D8.
Well, that's better.
You are using the axe in the ritual?
We are using the axe.
The consequence of this is that you cannot gain mana dice for a scene. The axe is discharged.
What does that do for us mechanically? Drops it to a D6 difficulty? Nice. So he's rolling 2D10 and 2D6 and he's getting to keep 3 dice.
On top of that, I will ask one of you, and you can be helped by somebody else, to make a clue roll. For those who don't remember, a clue roll, it's going to be against a D6 difficulty, and I will give you some additional insight about this ritual.
So that's going to be what, a geek plus...
This geek plus magic or geek plus veil. Take either, because it is magical in nature. One.
I'll do geek plus...
Actually, I'll take geek plus magic, because this is specifically about magic.
All right, geek plus magic, and I can reduce my jock by 1's eye size till the end of the scene to increase my geek by 1's eye size, so I'm going to do that. And I'll do 2d8, 1d4, so I can get a plot point back.
Okay. Tell me which trait is giving you that d4.
The trait that's giving me the d4 is the not just a huge dumb guy, and so, like, I've
feeling
done,
your britches on this
I've
one?
Done, I've done... rituals before, but I always kind of stumble my way through them.
Sometimes you are just a big dumb guy.
Sometimes I am just a big dumb
guy.
This
isn't a ritual roll. This is just a clue roll.
This
for
is the clue
observing
roll.
The clue roll, yeah. Observing the area.
So he's looking around. 5, huh?
5.
And I got a...
10.
10. So I got a whatever clue plus success.
Yes. So the thing that occurs to you is you could get rid of the scale if you could use something in the ritual of scale. And since you got a heroic success, I will tell you, if you could utilize Kazafel in the ritual, you could get rid of the scale.
Kazafel's been here before.
Mm-hmm.
If we call him back, he might be able to help us tap into the magic that causes the ritual. We could figure out what is tying him to it and then use that to find the ritual itself and help find your dad.
We should totally summon the hot angel guy, says Bo.
I can try. No guarantees.
It's a good idea. She nods in your direction. Like
last time he gave me a token, but I think
he
because...
He wakes over and just gives a little pat on the head. He sees what's going on. He's not worried about it.
Because of the fact that he's been sent to me twice, mm-hmm. and I brought him to me a third time.
Yeah.
Plus, I think you guys are also related, aren't you? You're both air elementals.
Yes, we are both air elementals.
You were like distant cousins to Kazafel. Your dad didn't deliver an earth elemental to you.
Sent an air.
Also true.
Yeah.
I'm going to basically strike a meditation pose, sit down like a yoga stance, cross the legs, close my eyes, a couple of deep breaths.
Mesmae looks at you. She's like, is this how you summon an angel?
I don't know. Never summoned an angel.
Never done it before. Give me a second.
Bo's paying a lot of attention.
Kazafel, please come aid me. I need you. We have something very difficult to do, Kazafel, and we need your help.
The air around you starts to swirl. Dude.
I did not think that was going to work.
Floating down from the sky in a pair of very nice designer slacks. A long sleeve shirt that's just open maybe one too many buttons, but for him, probably not. Hair flowing, wings wide. What are you doing in my neighborhood? And he settles down.
Sup, cuz?
Are you in trouble? And he like looks...
Not in trouble.
I remember you.
Kazafel, my friends.
What's up?
From the school, right?
Yeah, he tried to cut me in half.
Oh, I mean...
Water under the bridge. Or air across the...
Air across the plains.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Silas, T, Bo, Mesame, Kazafel.
Good to see you again, Kaz.
I mean, the Mesame is like, he's like pretty for an angel, right?
I mean, he's the only angel I've ever seen, so saying he's pretty for an angel, there's like no reference there.
Take our word for it.
He's a good looking.
He's pretty for an angel.
He's hot for an angel, okay? He's not just pretty for
an
angel.
I mean, look,
I'm not making you uncomfortable, are we?
Uncomfortable? No, I know I'm this
You're
hot.
You're reveling in it, of course. Did we interrupt anything?
Well, I mean, that's the part I was getting to. Like,
I feel like people who say he's hot is like his Tuesday.
True.
Yeah, I mean, I got a date. So what are we doing?
We're looking for my dad. We're about to cast a ritual, and it occurred to us that there's some big magic. So we thought maybe having a little extra big magic on our side might help the ritual work better.
So you want me to do the ritual?
No, we just want you to just put a little mojo into it with us.
Because I was the target of the previous two summons.
Yes.
That somehow I might be linked to the existing magic.
Yes.
Correct.
Oh, so you thought that your ritual could then trace back the lingering magic on me back to its original source.
Yes.
All over it.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
I knew that. I was just waiting for them to get to it.
All right, listen. Like, when are you guys doing this ritual?
Like right now.
So you didn't need a roll to summon him, but you do need a roll to get him to stay.
Of course.
It's not a difficult roll, but Kazafel's on the clock here. You know, love must propagate through the falls. Can I tell you that back in the 1920s, this was my canvas. Honeymooners coming to Niagara Falls.
I would imagine, yeah.
Have you been around here lately?
It's not what it used to be, I'm sure. Anywho.
I think the view is pretty nice. Look out at the river.
No, the view, Silas, hasn't changed. No one comes here for honeymoons anymore. Angels in Paris got a maid. It's like been eternal. But like here, there was a heyday, my man. It was a thing to behold. So much young love.
I'm pretty sure my parents came here for their honeymoon.
Aren't you like eternal? Like, doesn't this stuff just go cyclically? I assume it'll just come back around at some point.
I mean, I guess. But right now, like I've got, you know, mini golf and strip clubs and stuff. And
I think we should focus on the task at hand. We really would appreciate.
This difficulty is just a D6, but okay. I'm going to need something social.
This is all emotion. This is my emo. This is mage.
Perfect.
And sins of the father. I'm leaning into, I need to find my dad.
Okay.
Please help me find my dad. And you fucker.
Oh, that's an 11.
He rolled an 11 on 2D6.
11.
Jerk.
You can do this.
I will help. I will give you a D8 as I am using my popular die to like talk about like his Kazafel's like exploits over the course of the years.
Schmooze him. All right. An 11?
Yes, sir.
You got it. You got a 14.
Yes, I have a 14.
That's going to be the thing I remember the most about this game is the speed at which Chris assesses dice. So Kazafel's like, all right, you know what? I could be late. Your cause is noble.
Plus, your stories are great.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know. And look at you two. And look at you two.
Oh, that's right. You can feel the love.
I'm loving it. Yeah. I'm loving it. You were, no offense, but when we first met, like you were.
He was a hot mess.
Boy, you said it.
It didn't help that you tried to cut me in half.
Look, I don't know why you keep harping on that. I was just trying to get rid of the axe. You were pretty.
Can we?
What?
Can we? You won't be late if we get this done. Like we.
Oh.
Can,
yeah, yeah, we're doing this now?
We can just do this and get you to your date and, you know, love will prevail.
All right, all right. All right, well, let's not keep that couple waiting.
All right.
All right.
Go. Money all ritual lit up.
Okay.
It's your dad.
Okay, so now, with the appearance of Kazafel, that D10 goes away. And with the axe, the location, and Kazafel, this is a much less intimidating ritual to cast.
So we've gone from 4d10 down to 2d6 d10.
Yeah, not scale. Yeah. So only keep two.
Yep.
I look at you, I'm like, you should probably do the ritual, right?
All right, this is my first, it's not my first ritual, but it's the biggest ritual.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Okay.
Just a feeling.
This is, again, all emotion. This is emotion driving the whole thing. And very mage and very dad.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Kazafel leans in while you're putting, like, as you're starting to compose yourself. How did that prom thing go?
I will tell you all about it later.
Because you were going with that girl, right?
Yes, I was.
You were there for part of it.
Takes a look.
She's clearly not here.
Oh, bummer, dude.
Yeah.
Does anyone want to help?
T is really the ritual master, so I feel like T would be giving me pointers to make sure that I'm...
You can give him your geek die for that plot
point. That's only a D6. It's really not.
Oh, I thought you flipped it.
Oh, that's right. It's a D8 right now. Yeah, take it. Take my D8 while it's still in play. Go all for right. it. Yep. Thank you, Chris.
For the not a big dumb guy special effect where you can flip one down for move one up the geek for jock.
Hit me.
You got to stop rolling 13s, buddy. You got to stop rolling these wild dice, man.
Here goes nothing. I got an 18 with a 1.
Oh, well, I'll take that 1.
That's also a super success, though.
Does the effect die matter in this case?
Effect die, no. Success is the driving factor. That disruption to the shroud actually increases.
Well, you know, there's angel magic being flung around. He flew down out of the sky. Yeah, it's not great.
This area is a hot spot.
Yep.
I had a 13.
You got an 18.
Excellent. I'm going to describe to you the ritual. I don't necessarily want to tell you what the heroic success is, but I will tell you that there is actually a tangible benefit for that heroic success.
Okay.
Is that fair?
That is absolutely fair.
We trust you.
Okay. Yes. Standing with Kazafel, Kazafel contributes energy into this. But what you see is as the ritual coalesces, the energy starts to swirl around Gunny with T coaching Gunny through what to do with it. And essentially it's like, now, funnel it through Kazafel. You push the ritual energy into Kazafel, and then what lights up is this, like, thin trail that comes out of, like, from the top of, like, above Kazafel, and it arcs out over into Niagara Falls. Because you cast the ritual, you can feel where it's terminating. Like, you can't see it, but even, like, when this isn't visible anymore, you will know the terminus of the spell, but from where you guys are standing now, there's this like arc of light heading further into the falls.
Is it on the American side or on the Canadian side?
Oh, it's on the American side.
Follow the light.
Kazafel's like, whew, shakes his head. He's like, whew.
Give you a rush?
That's a pretty decent amount of energy for a bunch of young folk like yourself. Nicely done.
Thanks.
So anyway, what happened to the prom girl?
Cult of the Worm?
No idea.
Prosperity cult.
It's not exactly a hard no, is it?
I'm trying to get a hold of her again to see if we can have a conversation.
Nice. Not done, right?
I want to make sure she's okay.
I mean, what happened? Like, did you like at the prom, did you just like say goodbye and go off and do the other thing? Or
I let her escape when they were coming to grab everybody else.
You let her escape?
Word.
You didn't know that?
You got some feels.
I was a little busy.
Sorry. Yeah.
I mean.
Apologize. Didn't. Think I let that part, I thought I let it be known to you guys at least.
Not to me.
I sure as hell wasn't going to tell your dad.
That's probably smart.
Let her escape. I think he still likes her.
I had doubts about whether or not she was invested in the cult or just the prosperity magic lure of the money, you know,
sure.
Like two different things. And I really felt like she might have been there just like, I don't know if she was ready to go over the top with them.
All right.
And so I wanted to give her the opportunity to.
Mesmé's like, easy there, Sheriff. She puts her hand on your shoulder. She wasn't responsible for what happened to me.
But he's right. He is absolutely right to question my motives.
Yeah, but she also didn't stick around, though, to deal with the consequences.
No, she didn't.
When Mesmé puts her hand on my shoulder, I calm down visibly. It's cool, man. Like, it's not that big a deal. I mean, it is, but it's not. Like,
it's love, man. It's love.
I don't know about that, but...
Oh, I feel a little something.
She just could have been useful, that's all.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if they messed with Joshua or whatever that guy's name was, the guy that they got the arrows encased in ice, not the guy that Earl's killed, the other guy.
Yeah.
I told Mesmé what happened.
Yeah. When you say Earlis, Casveld quick looks around.
She's not here. It's okay.
What?
Oh, man, you mentioned Earlis.
Well, that's her daughter.
Okay. Very nice to meet you. You seem like a very nice girl. He takes like two steps.
It's back. All right.
You know, my dad is Victor Flamesworth, right?
Yeah, sure. But, you know.
More importantly, you were there when Earlis showed up, so Earlis knows that. At the very least, you were there to help her daughter, so...
Yeah, I think you're probably fine.
If she ever shows up again, remind her
of
that.
Yeah, you got points.
Yeah, remind her of that.
It's cool and all, like, you know...
I get it. She can be scary.
Yeah.
I turn to Mesmé. I'm just like, you see, that's what I'm talking about. This angel here is more scared of your mom than my dad.
Yeah, well, your dad is bound by laws.
That's true.
Earlis is a force of nature.
Yeah. My mother does not respect boundaries or laws.
At all.
No.
So, the light... pointing.
Yes. Let's go follow that.
We should do the thing with the
We should fix finding. The mess that we made
okay,
first.
Okay, but dude, yeah. Kesvel puts his hand on your shoulder. Listen, go do the thing. Go follow the trail, find your dad and stuff like that, because that's very cool. But also, if you need some advice later about, you know, need some advice about that girl, Casey, right?
I know how to find you.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, here. And he takes another feather and he's like, hold on to that. He's like, in case you're not around here, but if you're around here, I'll definitely hear you.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, yeah. All right, good luck. Good luck on both of those things.
Thank you again for your
help. And again, you two, amazing couple. You two, adorable. Absolutely. Like, I love everything that's going on here. The height difference, the whole nine, the whole energy. I love all of this that's happening here as he motions to Bowtie. Love everything that's happening here.
Bo is basically just at this point a barely contained ball of energy, enjoying this entire thing.
Yeah.
She's vibrating.
Yes.
Is that what
she's
She's vibrating.
I have to go give a couple a night of their dreams. So you guys all have a good time. And he takes a step back and whoosh, goes straight up into the air.
We should fix this mess we made before we leave.
Like, there's like magical energies bouncing off the trees. And to the rest of the world, right now, like if anyone was driving down the parkway, like lights are flickering from the trees. It's very messy right now.
Can we just like maybe try to absorb it?
I was going to let T fix it. He's good at this stuff.
Get another ritual set up. I've nipped back the things of Shroud several times in the past, so.
Go for it.
Yep.
Yeah, if you're going to mend this thing on the quick, then we do need a roll for it.
Yep.
It manifests a difficulty equal to its die type, 2d10.
And this time I will have Bo help me with this because I actually have her as a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. We're on it. Bowtie to the rescue.
The effect die for the thing is the trait die, so it's a d10. Mm-hmm. So anything, if you get over a d10, you'll get rid of it completely. If you get under, you'll just knock it down by one.
Yep.
Okay.
So you can patch it up or you can actually dispel it.
So I'm going to use bow, which is d10. I upped my girlfriend die to a d10.
my girlfriend die.
I've got geek at d8. I've got mage at d8. And I have, this is still going to be just a huge dumb guy. You get do all the D8s.
Yep.
I have to beat an 11.
It's like in a reasonable roll for once. Jeez.
One went high, one went low.
I have a 1, and I have a 10. I don't have any plot points, so it's not going to work. And I have a 1. So it gets worse.
It does. Here, go ahead and take yourself a point. Yeah, that just goes to like a 12. The shroud in this area is a hot mess at this point.
I'm making a call to... Miss Cortez.
Miss Cortez, Silas, is everything okay?
We
we kind of put a dent in the shroud and we tried to fix it and we made it worse, and we don't want to make it any worse because if we do, we might break it. Could somebody come out here and fix it?
Sorry.
Chimney, Niagara Falls.
Yeah, I'll head up there. I'll head up there and take a look at it in a minute.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Are things going well?
Yes.
Okay, then keep doing what you're doing. We'll take care of this.
Thank you.
Okay.
We tried.
Sometimes, just a huge dumb guy.
Quickly, to the T-Mobile.
At this point, because you are all magical, this area is highly unstable right now. Like
we just slowly walk away from it.
Yeah, like mundane people would just at this point subconsciously avoid this place. Like it is now appearing to be spooky and uncomfortable.
Did that acid I created earlier, would that have given me a die as well?
The grove of trees? No, okay. That would have, if there was any onlookers.
Okay, that would just been hidden. Yeah. Okay, no problem.
In this case, you've jacked up this spell right fine. But since, you know what, I'm going to give you a plot point back because you created that asset and we didn't do a social role.
Okay.
So take a plot point back because you spent it and you didn't get a chance to actually utilize it. So.
Well, thank you.
We're all friends here.
Mm-hmm.
We had more interesting roles to make. So.
We climb back in the car.
We climb
back in the car and it's like behind you. Like there's like magical flares coming off of the trees. If there are any mages anywhere in Niagara Falls right now, everybody knows.
Great. That's like, terrible for us, actually.
It's not specific, but like there is now like aftershocks going through the shroud throughout like Niagara Falls right now.
Whoever's got my dad, we're coming for you.
We blew that.
Yeah.
I actually say it's you in the car.
You guys pumped a lot of energy through like through that ritual and stuff. Like it was when you guys went really hot on that.
Follow the light.
It's kind of like when you're trying to open up a bag of cereal with those horrible plastic wax.
And
sometimes you pull it open, it's a beautiful little tear, and you fold it.
Sometimes it just explodes.
Sometimes you get Lucky Charms all over the table.
Let's just go. Follow the light. Follow the light.
GM's just gonna ask the players, where do you think in Niagara Falls this spell has landed?
The casino. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are standing in the parking lot of the casino.
Can we go in there? Are we allowed? That's why I look around at you guys and I say that. I bet T could walk in.
T's got facial hair and stuff, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
You are standing not on the casino side, but on the hotel side. The arc of energy has reached the hotel, but you know, you can feel it's the basement of the hotel.
Let's do it.
And like, as you guys are like standing there, you guys feel like another one of those aftershocks from the, like, just, it's nondescript, but like, it just passes through you guys. Like, woo.
My eyes get real wide.
Nothing to feel here.
It's cool.
All right.
It's fine, right? It's fine.
Going into the hotel, looking for the basement.
I look over at Messman. I'm like, this isn't exactly what I have pictured as like a nice fun date out, but you know.
I've never been to the casino before.
Me neither.
Pretty sure we can't actually go to the casino.
That's where we're just going to go into the hotel and go into the basement, I think. Right, everybody?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just for our folks who are not from the Buffalo area, Jerry, what is this place?
Seneca Niagara Casino Resort.
Yes.
Which is not the Falls View Casino, which is on the Canadian side.
Correct. Right? This is on the American side. And it is, the hotel part of it is actually, you know, multi-story, big rectangular box. And then attached to it is the actual casino space. But you guys, again, are facing the hotel side. So there is a pretty large parking lot, which called on the hotel side.
They've got a really good buffet there.
They do. Oh, and they have a nice restaurant there, too. Mm-hmm.
So if we need to, I'll run interference so that you two can get into the basement and follow the trail.
All right. What's our plan?
That was the plan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We just walk into the hotel.
Do we want to try another glamour to at least appear normals don't notice us as much?
Well, I mean, we can walk into a hotel. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're going to be going to the basement.
Sure, hence why I'll run interference. Like, if you want to glamour yourself to be invisible or whatever, I don't know. Do you know what the maintenance workers look like around here? Like, we would have to, like, walk around and find them.
Oh, yes, they'd be wearing the same, they'd be wearing uniforms just like anybody else here.
I mean, you can if you want to.
I'm not thinking that we need to look like make them. I think we just make it so that they don't notice us as much.
Then again, we've already fucked the shroud up enough. If we use more magic, we could destroy it.
This is also true.
Let's play it by ear. If we need to react to something, then we'll react to something. And if somebody needs to make a distraction, we'll make a distraction.
Yeah, I'm just throwing out there that like maybe don't use magic if avoidable because we've already strained the shroud pretty badly.
Who here's got the best sticky fingers? We're going to need an access card to get down the basement. A security card. So we're going to need to scan something to get down the basement.
You're talking about picking pockets?
Yeah.
I mean, am I just hanging out with criminals?
Let me rephrase that.
What happened during those six months? Is there anybody here
that's better at it than me?
I look at Gunny.
I don't think I've ever picked a pocket before.
Aren't you wind?
I am wind.
Aren't you quick?
You know, maybe I can, you know, do a little distance.
Don't use magic.
No, you're right.
I mean, use magic. Just don't roll any ones.
Yeah, sure.
Don't use magic. We've kind of hamstrung ourselves here.
We got to assess the situation. We need to get into the hotel and look around before we start.
Yeah, let's do that.
I walk in and I look around.
Yeah.
Can I ask just some general questions when we walk in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Where is there access to the basement when we walk in and look around?
It's not super visible. It's, you know, eventually when you walk around, like in some hallway, there's like a
door. It's not the elevator that has like a particular key that would take us down into the basement.
There is. But of course, anywhere where there's an elevator, there is also a stairwell.
Sure.
To what Jerry said before, right? This is also a casino. Everything is fucking locked. Unless you are supposed to be able to get into it, everything is locked.
And the basement's locked.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely locked.
Absolutely.
And it's a casino with a prosperity cult. So, you know, they're probably all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, it's real apropos, right? Like, I mean, a little bit too on the nose, but how could they not?
Wants to steal a key card. I don't approve of this, but you know, it's prosperity cult. It's fine. Okay, T, you raised his hand. You go steal a key card. Do you want me to run interference for you?
Yes, please.
We're just looking for some random person walking around that is like on staff.
Oh, that's
a cleaner or something like that.
Yeah. So super easy, right? One, this place is impeccable. So there's always cleaning staff, and there is also general staff that are wearing blazers and like slacks and stuff like that. And everybody has a card because you know, have to have ID and stuff like that visible.
I don't want to target a blazer guy because a blazer guy probably gets paid more than a cleaning person. The cleaning person probably doesn't care as much.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out there.
No, it's fine.
I'm cleaner myself in real life.
I'm just saying that finding somebody wandering around this place with a card, super easy.
I've never done this before. What do you want me to do?
Well, we need a distraction. So what the best, and to get a cleaner up here. So the best thing to do is, why don't you go buy Mesame like a soda and then spill it somewhere. So a cleaner comes up to clean it up immediately because they're not going to let a spill be on the ground for very long at a casino hotel. And then while they're doing that, I just walk up, bump up, take the card, and then we move.
We do that.
Bo's like, did you see that in a movie?
No.
Have you done this before?
Not recently.
Get my boyfriend.
I just hang out with a bunch of criminals, apparently.
The bad boy that he is.
Just
okay.
Criminals.
Now, in this case, I'm actually, since this is not a clue and you're actually going for the card, this is just a D8.
I want to create the asset of distraction.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's do that first. What do you want to set your distraction at?
D8.
I'm going to grab a couple extra D8s, park those two off to the side. Making a spill and a little bit of a scene.
How do you want
to
do this, Mesame?
Don't get it on me.
I mean, I'm not going to get it on you. Plus, don't you like you're ice anyway. You could like freeze it.
Sure, but that's going to make a shitty spill.
That's true.
You should let like just fumble this.
Do I want to spill it all? Do you want some of this?
She whispers something in your ear and then you drop the soda. I won't tell you. You can use your imagination.
I don't think we need to. It's
correct.
Fine.
She whispers something in your ear.
Hold on one second.
Smiles at you.
Let me build a dice pool for this. So it's my relationship with Mesame. It is my performer because this is obviously a performance. This is a school because it's like real world stuff.
Yeah.
And the distinction is because what Mesame said, it's going to be soul bonded to Mesame.
There you go.
Because when she whispers it, it hits harder because of
sure
the
does.
Soul
it
bond.
Does. 10.
I got a 14.
Very good.
Okay,
D8 asset on the table for
distraction
for Jerry.
Case why we use
yeah. When it drops between the two of you, like it hits, it makes a big spill. Mesame like makes noise, instantly like attracts attention.
Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean
it. Oh no, she's like, oh goodness, look at the mess we made. Oh my, I'm so sorry, my boyfriend's so clumsy.
Yeah, I'm a klutz.
Yep. And immediately, like somebody like in a blazer has like a little walkie-talkie thing and just like really quickly says something and a cleaner appears like in like a minute.
You should never use the term vajazzled again. It freaks me out.
All right. I'm going to use D8 for school, D8 for general distinction, and I'm going to use my D8 from the distraction.
General distinction?
I just have a distinction. None of my distinctions apply here.
Yeah, what are your distinctions?
Heart of stone. I'll just go heart of stone then, because I'm good at that. That's good for physical actions, which is what I'm doing.
Not only that, but you got to be cold hearted. Like, yeah, just snatch something from some poor worker.
You got nerves of stone, man.
He'll get it back. He'll get it back. And D12 for jock, because this is physical.
Yeah. Let's get physical.
And I have to beat an 8.
Correct.
You can do it.
I have a 1.
Okay.
And I have a 12.
With a D12 effect die. I don't know if that matters.
No, but it's a clean lift. Your one, which I'll pay you for, so grab a...
plot point.
Yep.
Can I ask a question? Would an extreme success have been better for us there, or no?
No, because you just literally just need
okay,
to...
Okay, just asking.
Actually, let me take that back. Let me see. I have notes here.
Because he could have spent a plot point to get an the better success.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what that's actually called.
No, actually, I will take that back. A heroic success would help you here.
You could have spent the plot point to get the heroic success. That's your choice, though.
Yeah, we'll spend the plot point to get the heroic success.
Okay. I will tell you what that heroic success gets you.
He would have turned it into a 17 instead of a 12.
Yep. The one that I purchase is just a distinction called Those Kids. Somebody on security saw you, like, you know, they didn't see you pickpocket anything, but those
we
kids
are youngsters in a hotel.
Yeah. Somebody caused a spill, like those.
Can you describe the ruckus?
Yes.
Those kids.
Did you just Ocean's 11's Clooney him?
Yes. That's what we do.
Gunny's over there eating
it's
a hot
what
dog.
We do. Wow. Okay. Sure.
I'm a part of a criminal organization, apparently.
We're in a casino and we're doing the greater good. We got to treat this prosperity cult like Terry Benedict, man.
I'm all on it.
I love that movie.
And you get to be my Julia Roberts.
Aw. She like leans up against you, puts her arm around your waist.
Yeah. I slide over and I palm the card into her hand for a second, let her look at it, and then I take it back. All right. Let's go downstairs.
You guys go downstairs, and your heroic success, what that buys you, is you don't run into anyone down here.
Yay.
There were other people down here, but you did such a nice job of palming this so smoothly that you make your way through the basement and follow the ritual to this door. And it's just this non-distinct, there's nothing, like you're in the basement, and while everything is very nice looking up above, everything is very just industrial. It's still clean.
Mm-hmm.
It now looks like school again. It's got the cement bricks and like that mono color, like not quite yellow, but not...
Hey, your taupe is very soothing.
Are there cameras down here?
There aren't as nearly as many. The cameras that are around here are more like access points and stuff. But again, your heroic success has allowed you to avoid those and you're able to move through this part.
Oh, okay.
This part has no cameras. Nobody's really interested in what happens down here as much as they just want to keep people out.
Seems weird that there's no cameras and it's been so easy, huh?
No cameras in this room.
Don't want anybody seeing what goes on in here. We watch too many movies. Okay.
What movie is that? Also, an Ocean's 11 reference.
Yes, Ocean's 11.
I've only seen that movie like once.
It's in the room where they beat up Danny Ocean.
Oh yeah, I remember that scene.
Okay, so this door.
Yeah, so this door is just like a slate gray metal door, just like a utility door kind of thing, fireproofed.
Still card access though.
No, it's just
the door.
Yeah, no, you know what? Reasonably, it has card access. You have a card.
Swipe.
Doo doo. Chunk.
All right, let's go in.
Let's take a peek.
Door swings open. You see a couple things. The first thing that catches your attention is there is an ornate magical circle in the middle of this room. This room is mostly empty. It probably could either be like a storeroom or could be set up for some sort of small private event kind of thing. It's a fairly large, nondescript room. No, obviously no windows, just overhead lighting, but the center of the room has a pretty ornate magical circle with a couple of different, they're like almost like pillars attached to the magical circle, and it is radiating a lot of magic. In the center of the circle, somewhat disheveled, hair unkempt, beard unkempt, and somewhat thin and ragged, is your dad at a craps table. There's just a craps table. There's no pit people or like there's just a craps table and he's standing at the craps table. There are no chips, but he's playing craps and he's like laughing it up. And he's, you know, he's like, OK, he's like, I'm on a streak, everybody. I'm on a streak. And he throws his hand forward and that's it. There's just a craps table. Your dad in the middle of this big magic circle. As the door finishes swinging open outside of the magic circle, there's a chair and a person sitting in the chair holding a phone that turns and looks at you, and it's Casey.
Fuck.
Thank you for listening to Mr. Ectomark Plays. Now let's do some Patreon shoutouts before we get out of here. Let's start with the Royal Court. First off is Tiffany Reynolds, the untitled Tiffany Reynolds. The Polish Ogre, our very own Polish Ogre, Lars Henrik Evjan, the Lord Out of Time, Jim Likes Games, the Royal Merchant Emeritus, Chromatic Chameleon, the Queen's Spy Mistress, J.T. Evans, the Queen's Librarian, Schmitty, the Keeper of the Labyrinth, Andrew Dacey, the Warden of Whiskies, that's a good one, John Carney, the Court Necromancer, bringing back those dead people, Tiberius Starcrash Smith, the Baron of Britannia, maybe he's friends with the Green Knight, then there's Eric Bontz, the Weregator, and Kevin Lovecraft, the Royal Beard. Now there's some other patrons that I want to mention right here. The Deliverator belongs to an elite order, a hallowed subcategory. Bridget, Athelus, Not That Billy Mitchell, Fiona, Kathleen Halperin, Christopher Gamelk, Michael Esperum, Joseph Noel, Carlos, Heptalema, Michael Draper, Cubano, Alice Kira, Jim Fitzpatrick, Brantley Harris, Steve Radabaugh, Richard Wyatt, Joseph Peralta, Brian Kurtz, Jared Rasher, Eileen Barnes, Brandon Barnes, Lee S., Tentacle Duck, Aaron Lakowski, Brendan Dennis, Padme's Lover, Ninjabi, Andy Olson, David Walker, and Victor Wyatt. Thank you so much for being our patrons. If you'd like more content like this, check out polygamero.us. We are the Polygamerist Podcast Network, where we help you play your best games. If you are interested in supporting this show and other shows on the Polygamerist Podcast Network, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/mmp. If that's not your thing, we'd still love your support by listening. We have Pandas Talking Games with Phil and Senna. It is car talk for your game. Ask them questions and they will answer them. There's the Gnomecast, gnomes giving their best GMing advice to help you play your best games, and they're also trying to avoid being thrown in the stew pot. Don't worry, if they die, we have clones of those who've passed away. Lastly, there's Thaka with Advantage with Ange and Jared. They talk about D&D topics while covering the history of the game and how it's evolved through the years. With that, Misdirected Mark Plays is a Polygamerist podcast production, where we help you play your best games. Mic drop. We out.